morning.
Welcome to Jenkins Church. Are there any announcements this morning?
One thing in the bulletin was about a shower for Hannah. That was last week, and somehow we overlooked it, and it's still in there. So the shower was last week, the bridal shower.
Okay.
We apologize. We don't know why.
Patrick? Sherry? Don't forget, next Sunday is our fifth Sunday breakfast. Church at nine.
One service.
One service. And then we'll have a good breakfast. If you happen to mess up and come early, come on. We'll put you to cooking, and you'll be okay.
I remember one lady came early.
And she had never been back, so that's a problem.
She went to the kitchen to cook sausage, and she was a vegetarian. She never came back.
No.
You don't like to cook, just say, I don't want to cook.
We'll let you clean tables or something. Okay.
That's 9 o'clock, one service.
Anyone else? Yes. Huh? Yes. Visitors this morning? First time visitors? Okay. Hey, Kim, how are you? Okay. Deletions or additions to the prayer list? Any?
My father's not doing very well, maybe kept him all week, he goes back.
find somebody to light the candles, please. Bow our heads and prepare ourselves for worship. Stand, and we'll do our call to worship. And if you notice, the prayer is before the song this morning in the bulletin. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts.
To you our hearts and souls sing for joy, O God.
Happy are those who live in your house, O Lord of hosts.
And our brothers who sing in you, O God.
It is better to be a doorkeeper in your house than to live in the tents of the wickedness.
O Lord of hosts, have your hope in trusting in you.
Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we thank you that there's a place that we come to especially identify with you and your presence. O Lord, we know that you are in all places at all time, and there's not a place that we can go that you are not present. But Lord, we come to acknowledge you at this place and thank you for it. And we thank you for the houses of worship and the places where people gather together throughout the world and worship and praise, offer themselves to you, hear your instruction and your encouragement and your call and the message of redemption through Jesus Christ. So we do thank you, and we thank you for the privilege of even holding a door or handing out a bulletin or lighting a candle or joining with others to offer a song of praise. And all else that we participate in your house. Lord, thank you for your presence. You promised through Jesus Christ to be present with us where even two or three gather. And we have gathered in your name, and thank you. Lord God, speak to us, speak through us, and allow us to bring glory to you, a smile to your face, in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing as we look to our hymn. It's on the screen. Thank you.
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wrapped himself in light. Darkness tries to hide and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God! age to age He stands, and time is in His hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Name above all names, worthy of all praise, my heart will sing how great is our God.
Time of service, and we repeat our statement of faith on the screen or 716 in your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Service confessing our sins. I confess my iniquities. I am troubled by my sins. Our prayer confession is in unison. Lord God, You are the Father of light. We confess our failure fully to follow You and to our own desires. Forgive, we pray, our obsessions with our own wishes and wants, and turn us against the life of service and love where all true joy is known. In Your power, our lives are the example of truth, righteousness, genuine love, and great mercy. Open Your eyes and ears to see and hear the cry of the needy around us. In the name of the One who alone is able to deliver us from sin and death through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, we pray. Hear the good news. God is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure.
You'll turn in your hymnals to page 101. His name is wonderful. Let's sing it twice.
Sentences, therefore, be imitators of God and beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Ushers, would please come forward.
Blessings than we could ever count in our lives.
cleanser of the mess I've made. Upon the hill our place is traced. Stretched on a cross, your body crushed. By human hands you formed from dust. Oh, how wonderful your mercy is. How awesome are your ways. I come to worship you for all you've done. Oh, cleanser of the mess I've made, your boundless love for me portrayed, with patience for my learning curve. By holding back what I deserve. Oh, how wonderful your mercy is. How awesome are your ways. I come to worship you for all you've done. Oh, cleanser of the mess I've made, with everything at your feet laid, I watch as all my cares erode, and from my soul these words explode. Oh, how wonderful your mercy is. How awesome are your ways. I come to worship you for all you've done. Oh, how wonderful your mercy is. How awesome are your ways. I come to worship you for all you've done. Lord, I worship you for all you've
done. First part of our scripture this morning comes from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things and through whom He made the universe. The second part comes from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoke by the angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard Him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. The Word of God for the people of God.
the young people of the church, a fellow Kemper is going to be administered the sacrament of baptism as a mark of God upon her. This morning, go be there from the Mount Carmel Church and go to Henry Horton for the service. And we're pleased that our young people are going to go and give their support there. And we encourage them. So pray for that journey. And what's the young lady's name?
Shelby.
Pray for Shelby. And that we can go and encourage one another and help one another, etc. I want to talk this morning about God speaking. God speaking to us. The title may be a bit confusing. God speaks to His people and invites us to be His people. Well, if we're His people, why would we need an invitation to be His people? Well, early on, Adam and Eve, God's people rebelled. They rebelled against Him and ran off from Him. And so, though we belong to Him, He sent Jesus to redeem us. And through Jesus, He invites us back into fellowship with Him. And that's a very, very simple way to put it, I guess. We've been talking about God. For 3 weeks, we spoke about God. And we didn't say everything that we need to say or needs to be said or that we need to know about God. You have your own Bible, and you can read and study and learn more and more about God. But we wanted to move on to God's action toward His people. And that being today, God speaks to His people. And as He speaks, or through His speaking, He invites His people. Now, this is not all of the action of God, but it's our emphasis for this morning. And it seems to be, and I think the word is pertinent to our situation. I heard that word numerous times and think I applied it correctly. Our confession of faith in the second statement concerning God and our relationship to Him and His coming to us says, "The one living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, speaks." God speaks. And then, so what do Cumberland Presbyterians believe about God speaking? What is our official statement of faith that God speaks? And how does He speak? Through the Holy Scriptures, the events of nature and history, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, but uniquely in Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. If you need a proof text for God speaking through Jesus Christ, that is Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 1, uniquely through Jesus. But if you need a proof text for Him speaking through other means, we have it in the same verse. In times past, He spoke this way, but now, the Hebrew writer was saying, He speaks through His Son, Jesus, who is the Christ. But uniquely in Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among men, full of grace and truth. The Gospel of John, the first chapter. And then by word and action, God invites persons into a covenant relationship with Him. We enter into an agreement, not a legal contract, but somewhat like it, but really not like it, because it's a covenant, a divine relationship, if you will. God is involved in the lives of His people. And I said that real slowly. Sounded like an old-time preacher, did I not? God is involved in the lives of His people. And whether you recognize it or not, He is. Whether you acknowledge His involvement in your life, He ultimately is. God is involved in the lives of His people. The one living God, the God who is Father, the God who is Son, the God who is Holy Spirit, the Trinity. God speaks to His people, and that's us. When have you heard God speak? When have you listened to God speak? And this has been God's way since the beginning. Genesis 2, chapter 16, God commanded. Genesis 3, verse 9, God said to His people, God called to the man, "Where are you?" He wanted to be involved. They were trying to run and hide, but God wanted to be in fellowship with His people. Another example of God speaking to His people is in Job chapter 33. Job 33, 31 through 33, God said to Job, "Pay attention. Pay attention. Listen to me." Job was wanting to do all the talking, see. And God said, "Listen, Job, I've got something to say. Pay attention, listen to me, keep quiet, and listen to me. Let me speak. And if you have a response, answer me. Speak. Because I would be happy, Job, if you were right. If not, you listen to me. Keep quiet, and I'll teach you wisdom." And then in Job chapter 42, verse 4, Job responds. Or he reminds God, or tells God, like God had forgotten. He says to God, "You've said to me, listen now and I will speak." Our youth who attended CPYC, Cumberland Presbyterian Youth Fellowship, this summer, and Patrick and Paul, and who else? There's Paul. Patrick and Paul, kind of youth, but past 20, so I guess they're not. Y'all spent a week on this, didn't you? Listening to God. Listening to God. Do you remember anything about it, young people? I know Paul did, because he taught. Listening to God. Has it helped you in your listening to God since you have returned home? Listen to God, because God speaks to His people. And He doesn't speak just to hear Himself. He doesn't speak just because He loves the sound of His voice and likes to listen to Himself. He speaks because He has something important to say. God speaks. And He was pretty blunt to Job, was he not? "Listen to me, and I'll give you some wisdom. And if you've got anything to say, if you've got any real good answers, if you're smarter than I am, Job, I'll listen to you. But speak." God speaks. And we probably won't cover in depth all of the way that God speaks to us, but the outline is there before you. The writer of Hebrews listed some things. Our confession of faith picked up other thoughts, and this basically is following the second statement, 1.02, from the Cumberland Presbyterian Confession of Faith. God speaks through the Holy Scriptures. God speaks through
Well, I've got one here, but I had it open. God speaks through the Bible. God speaks through the Bible. And in about, maybe next week, we will share words about the Bible. Or we're thinking about how the word that God speaks. 66 books, 37, 29, 27, I almost got that. 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, he was writing to a young minister named Timothy, and one that had been under his wing, so to speak, that he was mentoring, he was trying to teach, and he writes to Timothy, all Scripture is God-breathed. Why do we need to listen to what the Scripture says? How do we know that the Scripture is God's Word? Paul said, and Paul had some, read Paul and you'll see the experiences he had with God. God's calls in the 9th chapter of Acts, and then any of his letters or all of his letters. He writes to Timothy, Timothy, God's Scripture, or all Scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful. You can use it for your benefit, not just to have another book to read. You know, I'm not an avid reader, but I'll take spurts of reading. And one writer that I got turned on to, I guess, or enjoyed was John Grisham. And I've read all of his books but one, I think. And the last one, I even went Friday to buy one, and I said, when is this coming out in paperback? $28 for a hardback. And I like Grisham, but I don't like him that much. But I was about to buy it because I had a gift card that I was afraid was going to get old. But I said, when is this going to come out? He said, we'll look and see, and it'll come out the 22nd or 23rd of September. I said, I think I can wait. So I'm going to wait on that last book. But anyhow, I like to read, but that's pleasure reading. And I haven't found a thing in those books that helps me in life, though they're all about legal terms. They're just pleasure reading. And we need a diversion sometimes, I guess. People say we need a hobby or something. Even preachers need that. And so that's been one of my hobbies, to read Grisham every once in a while. I could even identify with his life or his story in The Painted House, pretty much. It was pretty close to my growing up days. The Cotton Patch, The Unpainted House, etc., etc., etc. But anyhow, but that's just for my good pleasure or my bad pleasure. But God's Word, the Holy Bible, is useful for what? For teaching, for rebuking. If we've found ourselves in the wrong, it will correct us, or it may point out where we're in the wrong. It may rebuke us for correcting and training in righteousness. God's Word teaches us how to live right. That's where righteousness comes from. Right living. In God's Holy Bible, these 66 books put together as one book, we find instructions for how to live and live right, how God wants us to live. And it says, verse 17, 2 Timothy 3:17, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We're called to be workmen for God, or work persons for God, and we need to know how to do it, and we need to know how to live before man righteously, in a right way, how to treat people right. And a lot of people don't know this. Even a lot of people in the ministry, you find that they don't treat people right. And it's one thing I have, if I have not treated people right, it was because I didn't know enough of God's Word, because I want to. I've strived to. All Scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And then God speaks to us through events.
Does that stretch you a little bit? Events of nature and the events of history. I like Elijah. Elijah, back in 1 Kings, Elijah wanted a word from God. Elijah was kind of desperate. He wasn't being listened to. He was being chased. His life was being threatened. He felt alone. And he looked for the message from God, and he looked in the thunder for a message from God. And he looked in the earthquake, and in neither of these. But that's where he looked, because evidently he knew that God spoke through these. And then God came to him and spoke through this still, small voice. The heavens declare, though, the glory of God. I had one preacher friend, student at the time, saying, you can look at nature around you and see God. And the professor said, no, you can't. What is that, pantheism? Says you can't look at nature and see God. You see evidence of God at work. So be careful there. Don't worship the creation. Another church down the street, down south of us, had a sign up, worship the creator, not the creature, or not the creation, a few weeks ago. The heavens declare the glory of God. And just the other day, Carol looked east out of our house, our front porch, and she said, bring the camera, you know, bring the camera. And we went out and got some pictures of the heavens. And then yesterday, I guess it was, driving south from the church back east, oh, the clouds were so white and so beautiful. And you can look at them, and there's God painting all those beautiful pictures. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hand. This is Psalm 19. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. And a sailor really knows this, does he not? Or does she not? There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, He has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. Nature, God's creation, speaks to us. The apostles. God speaks to us through the apostles. That's one way He spoke in the past, but we have it recorded for us. And I think of the book of Acts, where the apostle Peter was the number one preacher after Jesus' departure. And he was always stepping forth and doing the preaching and speaking to those who would not want to listen sometimes, those who were about to arrest them sometimes. And then just those gathered and those who were wondering what was going on. He spoke to the apostles in Acts 2 and 3 and 4. This is a good place to go back in Peter's sermon. Peter's sermon to this and Peter's sermon to the crowd. Peter's sermon to the Sanhedrin, the officials. And then he speaks to the prophets. He spoke in times past to the prophets. Now there's some people today that say that they're a prophet and they're usually the pastor of a mega church somewhere, and the church names them prophet. Well, I don't know if they're prophets or not, but there's a Bible way to figure out who is really a prophet, and there is one way is to see if their prophecy comes true. And there's many who have claimed to be prophets and been found wanting or lacking in that gift. But the gifts of the Spirit does mention prophets. Does God still bless people with the ability to prophesy?
Some say yes, and some say that's a thing of the past. He doesn't do that anymore. But that's another question for another day. But God spoke through the prophets. I like Samuel. Go back into the book of Samuel. Samuel's the one that God spoke to as a little boy. You remember? He was working under or learning under Eli, and God kept saying, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel thought it was Eli calling him, and he said, "Go back." And finally Eli figured it out and said, "Go back and listen." But God spoke not only to Samuel, but through him. And then he spoke through Isaiah, and he spoke through Jeremiah. Actually, we have 16 books of prophets, plus the prophets back in Kings and Chronicles, Samuel being one of them. 16 books of prophecy, or books of prophets. Peter, centuries later, referred back to the prophets. We have the word of the prophets, he said. We have the word of the prophets. 1 Peter chapter 1. Made more certain, and we will do well to pay attention to it. God's word is given, even through the prophets, to instruct us, to help us in living. Peter says we'll do well. It'll be good for us to listen to what the prophets said. As to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, verse 20, 1 Peter 1, 20, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture can come about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never has its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. God spoke through the prophets. It's Peter's testimony. And then God spoke through the evangelist. And I think God speaks through evangelists today. But God also spoke through the evangelist of the New Testament. John is referred to as John the Evangelist, St. John the Evangelist. There's also St. John the Baptist. And his message was not always good news. It was pretty harsh sometimes. "You brood of vipers," he said. But God was speaking through John as a prophet / evangelist. God speaks through pastors, or I trust that he did. I've been proclaiming this and believing this for almost 50 years. I've been trying to speak forth God's word as it has been recorded in the prophets and by the evangelists and by throughout the Bible. God speaks through teachers. And if you reflect back, it may be that that Sunday school teacher was the one that first got the message of God and His love for you and the message of salvation through Jesus Christ over to you. It may have been that Sunday school teacher that was the first one in your life to attract you with the message. I believe that God spoke to me through Miss Alice Ballard and her mother, Miss Bobby Jones, as I was growing up, the two Sunday school teachers that we had. But then God speaks uniquely through Jesus Christ. Uniquely through Jesus Christ. In the past, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets at many times in the various ways, but in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. This God, this Jesus, is the radius of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. That's Hebrews chapter 1. Why does God speak to us? He speaks to instruct, to reveal to us, or to tell us, to show us how that we are to live before Him and with other people. And then He speaks to correct us when we get on the wrong path. He brings us back to the right path through His word. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. I'm just repeating. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God speaks to us so that we will know how to live before Him. Otherwise, we'd just be wandering around in life. If He didn't tell us how we need to live, we'd just be wandering around and hoping we got it right and missing it most of the time. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 1, we've just read that. Some of the things that He tells us is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that's a lesson that adults and young people and children need to hear over and over and over, because we still live in a me world. But we folks can be the ones who changes from a me world to a do unto others world. Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. And before we do something to somebody else, if we will stop and think, would I want that done to me? Please, please, stop and think. Jesus' words, that was Jesus' words, do unto others as you want them to do unto you. And what a wonderful world we would have if we lived that way. God says if we do what He says it through Jesus, as He is speaking to us uniquely through Jesus Christ. He says if we hear His words and do it, our lives will be good lives. If we don't, they'll fall apart. The house builder built on the sand, that's the one who heard the word and did not do it. But the house builder who built on the rock, that was the person who heard the word and did what it said, the word of God. And when the storms came, and storms do come into life, his life stood firm. God teaches us these things to help us in life. To help us in life. God speaks to invite us. God speaks to invite us. Or through his speaking, he offers or issues an invitation for us to live in relationship to himself. I like what Jesus said in John. Doesn't matter if I like it or not, it's important what Jesus said, and it speaks to me in Matthew 11, 28. Jesus says to the downtrodden, to the hurting, to those who were tired, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The words of God through Jesus the Christ. Come to me if you're burdened, if you're working too hard, and if that burden is too heavy upon you. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn what I've got to tell you. Listen to me is what he is saying. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and I'll give you rest for your soul. You will find rest for your soul. And he invites us into a covenant relationship. We mentioned that earlier. He invites us to be friends with himself. He has drawn up the deal, if you will. That's a bad way to put it. And he says, here is the way life ought to be. Will you join me? It's a loving relationship. It's a covenant. And he promises to be faithful to his covenant. Covenant of grace. Covenant of love. Covenant of security in him for all who will come to him. Trust in him. We're going to sing, Jesus, I Come. That's a real invitation hymn. As we sing it, we're saying, Jesus, I come to you. I come out of my sin and come to you. I enter into covenant with you because I have heard you speak to me. to me? And maybe your response this morning would be right where you are seated or where we'll be standing. But maybe your response needs to be made public this morning. That you're coming to Jesus to say, "Here I am, Lord. I'm trusting in Jesus as my Savior. I want to learn all that you have to speak to me so that as your servant, I can live a great life that would honor and glorify you." Let's stand and sing. It's 336, and let's sing verse 1 and 2.
Thank you. This microphone, it cracks. It makes a cracking sound all the time.